Good to be in church with you guys this morning, and I've tried to be good about this, and you know what? It's going to be a big game today, but how about those Leafs? How about those Leafs? Man, someone texted me the other day and said, go Capitals, and so I responded by saying, well, I would cheer against who the Canucks are playing in the playoffs, but they didn't really make it, so I can't really do that. So I tried to be good, but we'll see. Maybe next week they'll be done. But it's been an exciting time with that, for sure, for sure. We're going to be starting a new series this morning. This series is called Under Construction. Under Construction. And so it's a look at building Christian character. Normally when we hear this idea of under construction, it's not really an idea that brings about like warm feelings inside of us. Like when we hear under construction, that means that we can expect some inconveniences. So it means that if there's construction on the roads, it means that we're going to be delayed in traffic. Right now outside of Elise and I's house on 64th and about 196, there's that whole bunch of construction that is super inconvenient for us right now because it takes us way longer to get home or get to church or get to wherever we're going. So when we hear under construction, we think, oh, it's going to be delays in traffic. Maybe that means that a website is down because they're working on it. Or maybe it means we can expect chaos in our house because we're under renovations. I remember when Elise and I first moved into our place and we were doing a whole bunch of painting and all that kind of stuff, it was like complete chaos. Like I think the only thing that we had in our fridge for like 3 or 4 days was like cold pizza, because we ordered so much for those who were helping us paint. Now, I was actually pretty okay with it, that there was just tons of pizza in there, but there wasn't much, it's just chaos. It's just kind of chaos in there. And I've learned a few things when it comes to renovations and construction. Especially when it's like home renovations, nothing ever goes as planned, ever. It's never as easy as you think it's gonna be. There's always some sort of complication that comes up where a simple job turns into this big, long, complicated thing, and it's just, you can expect that now. You can just expect, okay, something's gonna go wrong, whatever it is, I'm gonna be ready for it. Like, I know that nothing can go perfect, there's gonna be some kind of complication. If you've done renovations, you see that. It's never as easy as it looks. It's never as easy as you think. But when we think about this idea of our relationship with Jesus, of our faith being under construction, that's not a negative thing. It's actually a positive thing. With our faith, it's different. Being under construction isn't a bad thing. When we first accept Jesus, we are made new, we are adopted into his family, and we all start this journey of trying to look more and more like Jesus. We all start this journey of being put under construction, our lives, who we are being put under construction to look more like Jesus. And I love the title of this series because it implies that every single one of us is under construction. There's never a person who's like, okay, I'm done. Like, you know, I'm finished, I'm there, I'm where I want to be. Like, there's nothing else I can improve on. We're all under construction. Whether you've been a Christian for a week or for 50 years, we all have things that we can improve upon. We all have things that we can do that we maybe need to shift in our lives to make it look more like Jesus. And I love that, because there's no hierarchy. There's no, oh, I've been a Christian for 10 years, so I have, you know, my gold star, and I have this certificate, and I have that. It's, we're all on the same process, and myself included. This morning, as I'm sharing, I'm not sharing because, like, okay, these things I know perfectly, or this is where, like, you guys should, you know, follow what I'm doing because I do it perfectly. I am in the same boat. I am under construction. There's things in my life that I need to continue to work on to give over to Jesus so I can look more like him. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at the idea of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. You probably heard this if you've been in church before. You've probably heard of this. It's in Galatians 5, verses 16 to 23, which I will read, and it will be on the screen as well. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against these things, there is no law. If I was to sum this up as best as I could, I would say that these verses are saying that we should follow Jesus and what he offers and the things that he can give rather than the things that the world can offer and the things that the world can give. Because the things that the world can give are temporary and cheap, and the things that Jesus offers is lasting and came with a price. We can see by these verses that our natural desires, our natural ideas, go against what Jesus calls us to do. The desires of our flesh go against what Jesus calls us to do. If we follow these desires, as it shows, they will lead to destructive things. And that's why we're under construction, because we're trying to tear out these old things, these desires of the flesh, and we're trying to build something new and better in its place. And I think sometimes we forget this. I think sometimes we forget that our natural desires, our natural thoughts sometimes can be destructive because they come from our flesh. There's a popular statement going around that I've heard a lot that you've probably heard as well. It says, like, follow your heart or follow what you think is best. And it's granted, sometimes this can be an accurate statement. Sometimes maybe if you're trying to make a decision for your life, maybe for a career or for a schooling or for maybe for a decision where everyone else is telling you what you should do, then absolutely, you know what? Make a decision that you feel is best. If you're a Christian, then I'd hope that you would consult with God and in prayer and that sort of thing. But a lot of times, follow your heart isn't necessarily accurate. And I do believe that sometimes Jesus can put things in your heart that are good things and you want to follow that. And that's not what I'm talking about. But I think sometimes we think if we just follow our heart, that's okay. But we can see from this passage that if we follow our heart, if we follow the desires of our flesh, it leads to destructive things. It leads to things that aren't good. If I was honest, probably all times, if I just listened to what I wanted to do, it would probably be selfish things. Like, oh, if I want this, so I'm going to do this. Or if I thought about, I'm being like buzzy here, sorry guys. If I thought about what I wanted, then it would be selfish things. If it was whatever I wanted, I would probably do selfish things. But instead of following our heart, we should be following his heart. Should be following his spirit, his leading, his guiding, the things that he calls for us to do. And this is not an easy thing to do. It's not easy because naturally we're going against what we want. If you know me, I even mentioned it just a little while ago about pizza. I love pizza. Love pizza so much. I would eat pizza every meal of every day if I could. Every day. But most times, or all times, what's good for us isn't easy. And so I would much rather reach for pizza than carrots. Much rather. I would much rather reach for French fries than broccoli. I would much rather have chicken wings than cucumber. But I can't always have that because that's not going to be healthy for me. At least sometimes on my case, like, you can't eat so much pizza. And I'm like, shh, it's okay. It's okay. Like, I had some carrots with it. It's all right. One carrot, one piece of pizza. It balances out. But what's good for us isn't always easy. It's not an easy thing, because the things of the flesh, the things that maybe aren't good for us, are so appealing. And if they weren't appealing, then we would have no desire to take them. I've joked that whenever Lisa and I have kids, I'm going to tell my kids that like ice cream is carrots and carrots are ice cream. So they're never going to want to have like carrots or never going to want to have ice cream because they're going to think it's carrots. And they're going to think that ice cream is carrots. They're gonna be like, I love carrots. Or I love ice cream, and convince them that all these things are different. So they're so confused. I'm pretty evil, I guess. I don't know. But naturally, the things that we like sometimes aren't good for us. And we are fighting against this because we are born into the flesh but we are adopted by the Spirit. And sometimes those desires of the flesh come back. I made a deal with my dad for about a year. He was wanting to lose some weight, and his big thing was ice cream. He just loved ice cream. And so I told him, like, hey, let's make a deal. Like, we both won't have ice cream for a year. And I like ice cream, but it's not one of those things that I have, like, all the time. So for me, it was probably a lot easier than for him. But for a year, I said, okay, no ice cream. And there was times where, even at youth, we'd have, like, an ice cream sundae bar. And I'd be like, well, maybe I should. I mean, it'd be rude for me to, like, tell everyone to have ice cream and then not enjoy it myself. But I did. I did a whole year. And then I find out my dad, like, cheated, like, all the time. Because he's from Ontario. I never saw him. I was like, this isn't right. But sometimes the desires of the flesh come back. And we give in to them. But these things, these desires of the flesh, don't produce anything good. If we follow the desires of the flesh, it doesn't produce anything good. But if we follow the Spirit, if we follow Jesus, it produces good fruit. And that's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I know that it's April, and I know that Christmas is a long way off. But I want you guys to think about, in your mind, think about the best Christmas tree you've ever seen. This Christmas tree that is decorated with lights and with ornaments and with a star or an angel, the best Christmas tree you've ever seen in your life. Now, for me growing up, and even still now, I'm a fake tree guy. Not because I think that fake trees are better, but because fake trees are way easier. And maybe I'm just lazy. I don't want to go to the trouble of going and cutting down a tree or going and buying a tree and having to transport it. And the tough thing about real trees, I learned, is they don't fold up nicely like the fake ones do. You can't, like, take them apart and, like, fold them up and fit them in a box. Like, they're huge. And so I know that real trees are better, but I'm a fake tree guy. But imagine a real tree, a real Christmas tree with the smell of the pine, just the full effect of a real amazing tree decorated. Pretty special. Now imagine just an apple tree, a regular old apple tree. If you were to choose one, like, which one do you like better, you'd most likely pick the Christmas tree, because you can imagine yourself sitting beside it. You can imagine yourself with a cup of hot chocolate or maybe coffee or tea, and you're reading a book or just relaxing. You'd probably pick the Christmas tree. Probably. Maybe not. But the thing about the Christmas tree is, the Christmas tree, even though it looks amazing, looks flashy, for a while it's great, it's not going to produce anything worthwhile. Eventually, the needles are going to start to fall. You're going to have to vacuum up constantly the needles. That's another problem about a real tree, the needles. I don't want to vacuum, like, every day. But eventually, they're going to start to die. And this Christmas tree, no matter what you do to it, no matter what ornaments you add to it, no matter what lights you put on it, it's going to eventually start to die. But this apple tree that maybe doesn't look so special, it's going to continue to produce fruit. It's going to continue to do what it's designed to do. It's going to continue to produce fruit and things that you can use in your life. You can eat those apples. Whereas a Christmas tree, as flashy and amazing as it looks, it's not going to produce anything. And yeah, sure, the apple tree might not give you a great Instagram photo or Facebook photo that the Christmas tree will, but eventually the Christmas tree will fade and it will die. And I think that's a good picture of sometimes in our faith what can happen, or in our life what can happen. Is we pick something, or we see these flashy things that look so appealing and we fall for them. We think, this is great, I want to do this. And for a while, maybe it goes great. For a while, maybe there's no problems, you're enjoying it, it's good, but eventually things that can't produce good fruit will do just that. You realize that I'm not getting anything good from this. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that Jesus offers, produces good things when it's properly taken care of. If we stay in the Spirit, if we stay following what Jesus calls us to do, then we begin to see good fruit being produced. Things like joy, things like peace, things like goodness. Things that we saw in that passage. So how can we produce this good fruit? Sometimes we can talk and just say, hey, like, the fruit of the Spirit, you got to have these. And you're like, okay, I'm I'm trying, but like, what do I do? How can we produce this good fruit? I don't think it's a coincidence that it's called the fruit of the Spirit. I think that that's not a coincidence. Because when we think about the idea of fruit, how do we grow fruit? From seeds, things that are planted. And so I would suggest that the fruit that we produce in our lives comes from the seeds that we are planting. If we are planting unhealthy seeds, it can produce unhealthy things. If you have a garden and you're trying to plant things that you want to grow, if some weeds and stuff get in there, it's going to continue to produce those weeds. It's going to continue to produce unhealthy things. But when we allow ourselves to be put under construction to look more like Jesus, we begin to plant good seeds that produce good fruit. When we read things that Jesus would do and would say, and we try to apply that to our lives, when we allow ourselves to be vulnerable and honest before God in communication with Him, we start to plant good seeds. Another important thing to remember is that we need to allow ourselves to be good soil. I don't know much about like gardening. I've never really done that, to be honest, ever in my life. I used to have to water the plants. That was one of my chores as a kid, and I would even forget to do that. And then my mom would be like, "Did you water the plants?" Like, yeah, of course. Well, why are they like dead? Like, I don't know. I have no idea. So I don't know much about soil, about gardening, but I know that soil matters. It doesn't matter what kind of seeds you put into the soil if it's not good soil, if it's not being taken care of. And so we need to allow ourselves to be good soil. We need to allow ourselves to be molded and shaped to look more like Jesus. And we continue to take care of these seeds, then eventually it will produce good fruit in our lives. Sometimes we want the fruit without having to plant the seeds. It's not how it works. Someone doesn't just wait outside if they're trying to grow apples and think, why isn't this tree growing? Well, you planted any seeds? No, but I want that apple tree. Like, I want to eat apples. Well, then you better go to the store because there's no other way you're going to get apples. We can't have the fruit without planting the seeds. And we plant these seeds by learning about who Jesus is, kinds of things he did and said, and try to emulate that by creating good habits in our prayer and devotional lives. We hear that all the time, like you need to be in prayer, you need to be in your Bible. But it's so true. How else are we going to plant good seeds if we're not going to the source of those seeds? I believe the fruit of the Spirit is very important in our faith because I think that showing people and living out the fruit of the Spirit is one of the things that should make Christianity so appealing. When we are patient, when we are kind, when we are faithful, that should be appealing to people. If someone wrongs us and we say, that's okay, no problem, it's no big deal, they should think, wow, like that's nice. But if we blow up in their face, they're going to be like, whatever that person has, I don't want that. Like that does not look good to me. But when we have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, it should be appealing. And I would also suggest that the gifts of the Spirit we talked about in the past, that the gifts of the Spirit that God gives us have a lot less value and are a lot less important if they're not combined with the fruit of the Spirit. I don't think anyone cares if you have the gift of knowledge or of wisdom or of prophecy or any other gift if you're not kind, if you're super mean, if you're not gentle, if you're not any of the fruit of the Spirit, if you're not joyful. No one cares. No one cares about the gifts that you can bring if you're not coming with the fruit of the Spirit. I would rather be known in my life for the fruit of the Spirit living through me than a specific gift of the Spirit being shown through me. The fruit of the Spirit is so important. That can be how we show Jesus. A lot of times the gifts that the Spirit gives us, the gifts of the Spirit that we're blessed with, that we get, a lot of times they only are shown in like a church environment for some of the gifts. But the fruit of the Spirit should be living out through our life on a day-to-day basis. And I think it's funny, sometimes I find for myself, I can be way more patient with people that I don't know than people that I do. Like when I was a kid, if I was at a friend's house and my friend's mom asked me to grab some groceries or do whatever, I'd absolutely, no problem, I'll gladly do it. And they would think, oh, this Christian, what a great kid. And then I would go home, my mom would say, hey, Christian, can you help me? Oh my gosh, mom, like you're always asking me to do stuff. We can be so much more patient with people that we don't know than people that we do know. So sometimes we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware, God, would you help me grow in the fruit of the Spirit with my own family, with the ones who I know, with the ones who I'm most comfortable with. With my brother, the same thing. If my friend asked me to, hey, could you like come at like 3 a.m. to the airport and pick me up? Yeah, absolutely, no problem. My brother could text me and say, hey, I'm going to be at the airport at like 7:00. Could you come like any time between like 7 and 10? I'd be like, oh, can't you get a cab? Right? Sometimes we need to allow ourselves to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, not just with others outside of our family and friends, but within our whole lives. And as we move forward in this series about building Christian character, about looking more like Jesus, I'd like to challenge you guys with something. I'd like to ask you guys to ask God to make him aware of areas in your life that need to be molded and shaped to be more like him. Sometimes what I find that what I do is someone will preach something or say something or make a funny observation, and I'll laugh and be like, yeah, absolutely, that's so good, without even realizing, hey, maybe this applies to me. We're so quick to like point out or think about others. If someone says, hey, maybe you need to be more patient, we think, yeah, I know some people that need to be more patient, that's for sure. But we don't actually recognize it in our own life. So I would challenge you guys, as we move forward through this, ask God to make you aware of the areas in your life that you need to be allowing him to shape and to mold. And do your best to allow yourself to be good soil, which you can plant good seeds, which can produce good fruit. And be aware of the things that you're planting in your life that aren't good. Because even like we said, mixed together sometimes, it's still not good. If you have this nice garden with all these good things, but then there's some weeds going through there, sometimes you got to do some pruning. And I imagine that's not fun. I can't speak from personal experience. But ask God to make you more aware of the areas where you need to be molded and shaped. And ask him to make you good soil where good seeds can be planted that can produce good fruit. Let me pray. God, I thank you that when we come into relationship with you, that you don't try to leave us in the same place where you found us, that you continue to try to mold us and shape us to look more like you, not for your own good, but for our own good. Because you know better, because you know that when we allow the things that you teach us and show us to become a part of our life, it actually leads to us having a better life. It leads to us feeling more fulfilled, feeling better about the things that we're doing because we're following the plan that you've set in front of us. God, I pray that you would make all of us more aware of the areas in our life that we need to give over to you, the things in our life that we struggle with, maybe blindly. Would you make us more aware? And would you allow us to be good soil? Because we know that you can give us good seeds, that you can produce good fruit through us if we allow ourselves to be good soil. So would you help us with that? Jesus, we love you so much. Thank you that you live in us and work through us. And you don't leave us where we're at. We ask all of this in your name. Amen. Amen. I hope you guys have a good week. We'll see you next week. On your way out, Elise mentioned that you will see a little poster board about the rodeo parking fundraiser. I would encourage you guys to sign up for that. It's super easy. Don't worry about having to know what you're doing or if you've never done it before. It's super easy, and it's a massive part of the things that we can do with our next generation ministries.